Father, we just want to thank you, Lord. Anoint us this morning. Lord, this is your word, inspired by your Holy Spirit. For you said all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. God breathed, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that a man of God may be thoroughly equipped, ready for every good work. And I pray, Father, for your word. That thank you, Father, for your word. And I pray even as we meditate upon your word this morning, anoint us with your spirit and enable us, Lord Jesus, to understand the intention of your heart. Thank you, Lord. Transform us a little more into your likeness. Fill us with your spirit even as we receive your word by faith. And where there is no faith, cause faith, O Lord, to arise. For you said in your word, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I pray, Father, for faith this morning. And Lord, even as we receive your word by faith, fill us with your Holy Spirit. And continue to do your work in us and through us, in our homes, in our church, and wherever we go. To that end, I pray that you bless and anoint the speaking and hearing of today's word. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. We've been looking at the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God. This entire year has been a meditation, if you will, on the kingdom of God. The gospel is the gospel of the kingdom, and you will see that after Jesus has ascended into heavens, and before he ascends into heaven, for 40 days before the day of Pentecost, he taught his disciples through the scriptures. He expounded the scriptures, things pertaining himself, and after he expounded from the scriptures, things pertaining himself, he continued to teach them by the Holy Spirit things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And you will see that even in the book of Acts, that's how it ends. Paul is starting to expound and teach about the kingdom of God, and the gospel is the gospel of the kingdom, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached and as a witness in all the nations. And what will happen? And the end will come. Amen. So one of the very important aspects of the gospel of this kingdom is that if you want to become a member, there's no member, this is only one way to enter into the kingdom. We have to be born again. Unless a man is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless a man is born of the water and of the spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That is the only way that one can enter the kingdom of God, is through new birth and by his own will. It says in James chapter 1 verse 18, he has caused us to be born again by the word of truth, the incorruptible word of God. All of us, if not all of us, then many of us here are born again, children of God. And then why does he cause us to be born again? What he wants to do, he wants to do the work of restoration in our lives. The work of restoration, that he wants to restore us back to the intended purposes of God before the fall. And we've been looking at that from the book of Genesis, as to what God created us in his own image, and now he's transforming us into the likeness of his son, who is the image of the invisible God, the express image of his person, as it says in Hebrews chapter 1. That's his purpose. And in order for us to understand, as to what is that image of God, we've been looking at the attributes of God. The attributes of God, that God is a God who is omniscient, that he's an all-knowing God. And how, as his creation, especially as people made in the image of God, Adam, who was made in the image of God, we have a residue of that, if you will, as that we also collectively are able to possess knowledge. We are not all knowing like God is, but we are people who've been growing in knowledge. And Daniel says the knowledge will increase in the last days, and many will be going what? To and fro. We also looked at the aspect of God being omniscient, omnipotent. He's all powerful. And we see as to how man was given the intelligence to be able to dominate his surroundings. Every aspect of creation, everything that is around him, is being given the because he's been made in the image of God, the intelligence and the cleverness, if you will, to be able to overcome whatever situations and circumstances that he might be facing, that is all powerful. And we also looked at the fact that God is all omnipresent, right? And we looked at as to how that is being reflected in this modern world by with the advent of technology and especially the internet in these last several decades. But the one aspect of God that when we fell away from God, when Adam fell and when Adam sinned, the Bible says, in Adam, all of us sinned. Every one of us sinned in Adam. When Adam sinned, all of us sinned. Okay? And because of that fall, and one of the most important attributes of God, is a God of integrity. That's what we looked at last Sunday. Right? And I want to touch upon that. I want to continue on that topic this morning. It says in Numbers chapter 23, that's where we left off, if I'm right, last Sunday. It says in verse 19, God is not a man that he should lie. Here is Adam, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make good? In other words, God, every man's integrity is like, if you want to know if a man is honest, if he says yes, it's a yes. If he says a no, then it's a no. That's the reason why Jesus says, let your yes be yes, and let your no be no. Don't swear by Jerusalem, don't say by your head, because you cannot even make one hair fall or make it gray. Okay? So, don't swear. Let your yes be yes, and let your no be no. Every other thing he says is of the evil one. Because his yes is not a yes. And his no is not a no. When he says yes, it could be anything. But God is a God who is of his word. I mean, he is the one. He says, if he says he will do it, that's the reason why he says, you know, the word of God, he says, once it comes out of his mouth, it will accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. So God is a God who is absolutely honest. He's a God of integrity. You know, there's one book which I was introduced to several years back. It's not available on Kindle if you want to buy it now. There was a very powerful book which I was introduced to several years back by Warren Wiersbe. The title of book is Integrity Crisis. Integrity Crisis. And every time I read that book, I mean, you can't go beyond 3 or 4 chapters, because after you read 3 or 4 chapters, you are so convicted and you just fall flat. Okay, it's so powerful. Very, very, very powerful. The very opening sentence of that book, he says, is a definition of what we call a scandal, you know. Scandal. We hear about scandals, you know. This scandal, that scandal, scandal in the church, scandal in government, scandal in sports, and all kinds of scandals going around. And then he makes a statement, he defines what scandal is. He says, scandal is sin enjoyed vicariously. I'll give you an example as to what he means by that, okay? Sin enjoyed vicariously. What is vicarious? Vicarious means living your life through others. There's a robotics company called Vicarious. That's the title of, that's the name of the company. The robotics company is Vicarious. Then I was thinking, what a name to give to a robotics company. What is vicarious means? That is a robot, but I am living my life through that robot. That's what vicarious means. Living your life through somebody else. And then he says scandal is sin enjoyed through somebody else. For example, let's say you have some kind of an animosity against somebody in the church, or maybe somebody in your university or in your office. And you want to give it back to him. Okay, that's boiling in your heart, but somehow you're restraining yourself because you're a Christian. And you're, somehow, Lord, let me not be the instrument of wrath. Because the Bible says, be slow to speak, be slow to get angry, etc. But somebody else has a tiff with the same guy, and an altercation happens, and he beats him up. Okay. Just giving you a scene, okay? And what is happening to you? One more. You know what is that? You know, that is vicariously enjoying your pleasure, fulfilling your sin through another man. You know, because this is there in all of us. Even recently one brother, I don't want to name the name of the brother, who came to me and he said, Pastor, this brother, he irritated me so much. Okay. And I gave it to him. And I said, Sammy, sorry. Sorry. Oh my goodness. And I said, thank you, Sammy. That's what I wanted to do as well. You see, that is sin. That is how we are, you know. We want to maintain our, what do you say, sinless reputation. And we want to enjoy our sin through somebody else. That is what is scandal. I mean, that was the first word in the book Integrity Crisis. And I read that, I just like, this is like a thunderbolt, okay. It just hit my heart like that. I was just thinking about that. And then, third chapter, if I'm right. Third chapter. The quotation by a French mathematician, Leopold Kronecker. Not French, German. German mathematician, Jewish German mathematician. Leopold Kronecker. This is his statement. He says, God made integers. God made integers. All else is the work of man. Okay. Okay. God made what? Integers. Everything else is a work of man. Meaning there are no fractions in God's kingdom. To understand this, let me show you a passage from... Okay, before we go there, I just want to show you, I think I'm introduce the title of today's teaching. Lord, make me one, okay? Make me what? One. Okay, one. Alright, one. Single. Why am I saying this? This is what the Shema of Israel is. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, this is what Israelites keep reciting. Sometimes not knowing what they're saying. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. So to understand this, what it means, I'll give you a situation in the Bible as to what it means to be one. The situation is Solomon has an encounter. The first time he's established on the throne, he has to make a judgment between two prostitutes. Both of them have babies, and one of them lies on the baby and she dies, the baby dies, and the other person, the baby is alive. So the person who lost the baby steals the other baby and puts it near her, and there's a ruckus. So they go to Solomon. And they say, what's the problem? She says, this is my baby. The other says, this is my baby, etc., etc., etc. Now, Solomon has to make a judgment. This is what he says in 1 Kings chapter 3. And the king said, the one says, this is my son who lives, and your son is a dead one. And the other says, no, but your son is a dead one, and my son is a living one. Then look at what happens. Then the king said, bring me a sword. Bring me a what? Sword. So they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two. Give half to one and half to the other. Problem solved. Because I have to be fair. And then what happens? Look at the next statement. Then the woman whose son was living spoke to the king, for she yearned with compassion for her son, and she said, oh my Lord, give her the living child. Give her the what? The living child. And by no means kill him. Look at what the other person says. But the other said, let him be neither mine nor hers, divide him. Look at this. There's a principle over here. If the child is divided, it is neither hers nor mine. If the child is single, then it could be yours. In other words, God does not want people who are divided. Because if you are divided, you are neither mine nor the world's. That's the danger of being a believer. That is the reason the Bible says a man who is a divided, a double-minded man will receive how much from the Lord? Nothing. Because you are as good as dead to him. You are as good as dead. This is principle. So half to the world, half to another person, half. This does not work. That is the reason why what integrity means. It means that you are coming and saying, Lord, I am yours completely. No part of mine belongs to me. All belongs to you. And to that image, we are being slowly being transformed. It does not happen in one day. We are not like Jesus, who said, you know what? In the volume of book that is written about me, you have prepared a body for me. I'm here to do your will and completely surrenders 100%. No. But we are being slowly transformed little by little by little into that image. So, what do? We pray and say, Lord, make me one. So, how does the Lord make us one? What is to become one? This is what we need to ask this morning. Let us look at a passage in Matthew's Gospel chapter 6. And then we will look at a few verses. And we will understand what is to be one and how the Lord wants us to make one into that image. Gospel according to Matthew chapter number 6. And I'm reading from verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moths nor dust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your what? Heart will also be. Notice that. If you have it in your Bible, underline it. Underline it in your Bible. Next verse. And these are all, I mean, one after the other. All these verses are one after the other. The light of the body is the eye. This is in the King James, okay, version. If therefore thine eye be single, thy eye be what? Single. Thy whole body is full of light. If thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great the darkness? Okay, so let your eye be single. You can underline that in your Bible. And finally, verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You see that? It's like that woman who says, no, divide it. Once you divide it, it will be neither mine nor hers. Okay. That's what we say in Hindi, no? Dhobi ka kutta. Na ghar ka, na ghat ka. That is divided. So this morning, there are three aspects I want you to be looking at this morning. First, for where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. So what does God want to do? He wants to give us one heart. Everybody say one heart. One heart. One heart, not a divided heart, but one single heart, the inner man. We looked at that, no? Several aspects of what that heart means. Second, verse number 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is single. What is he talking about? He's talking about one mind. Everybody say one mind. One mind. So what is that first? One heart, one mind. Third one, this is the most powerful of all. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, he's talking about one will. Is that? One heart, one mind, one will. Three. One heart, one mind, one will. One heart. That is the reason why the Bible says, I mean, Jesus, when he's reading from the scroll of Isaiah, he says, the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to bind up the what? The broken hearted. Yeah. Heart has been broken. Shattered into millions of pieces in some people's lives. They are people with not just one, two personalities. They are people with multiple personalities. Okay. Shattered. The word for shattered, you know, you remember when the guy who goes from Jerusalem to Jericho, remember the guy who goes from Jerusalem to Jericho and he's waylaid by robbers, and then the Bible says a Samaritan comes, he pours oil and wine and binds up his what? Wounds. You know what the word for wound is in the original Greek? The word for wound is trauma. And it's the only time in the Bible, in the New Testament, it is used. Trauma. Bind up the trauma. People have been traumatized and been bifurcated into hundreds of pieces because of situations, circumstances, experiences in life. And what does God want to do? Bind up. You know, there's a famous Hindi song. Shisha ho ya dil ho, aakhir toot jata hai. No, that's the reason why I don't give your heart to anybody. Give your heart to Jesus. Okay, he will not break your heart. You broke his heart, but he will not break yours. So one heart, one mind, one will. So let us look at these three aspects in order for us to understand what is it to become one. What is our current situation? And how do we progress to become one? So let's talk about one heart. One heart. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart also will be. Do you get that? Where your treasure is, there your heart also will be. Therefore, this should be our prayer this morning. In Psalm 86, this is what the psalmist says. I'm not sure if it's David or somebody else. In verse number 11, he says, teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. And look at this. He says, unite my heart. He doesn't say cause unity in the church. He says, unite my heart. You know, this struggle is there in Apostle Paul. This is what he says. You know what? I want to do this. But there's something else in my heart, in my mind, or in my members, which causes me to do the exact opposite as to what I want to do. I desire something else, but I end up doing something else. There's there. This struggle is there in all of us. And the prayer of the psalmist is, Lord, unite my heart. Make my heart one. Then what happens as a result? Then I will praise you, O Lord, my God, with what? All my heart, and I will glorify your name forever. For great is your mercy toward me, and you have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. And what does it say in Matthew chapter 6? For where your treasure is, there your heart also will be. So if you want to have one heart, I want to introduce to five treasures. Five treasures. First treasure that all of us should consider treasure. Let's read this. Treasure who? Treasure God. Treasure God. God. Treasure God. God told Abraham, Abraham, I am your shield. I am your what? Exceedingly great reward. That's what the psalmist says. Lord, in you I have put my trust and I have nothing good apart from you in my life. You are my everything. But the question is, do you treasure God? It's important. Let's look at one classic example in the Bible. It's what it says in Hebrews chapter 11 about Moses. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. You see, there are treasures in this world. And there is Christ. There might be reproaches in Christ. But you know what it says about Moses? It says he treasured God. You know, this man was consumed by love for God. You know, I'm challenged by his life. He says, Lord, I do not want to have anything in my life, even it is from your hands, if it is from your hands, which brings a bad name to you. I treasure you. I just love you. You and you alone. It's absolutely, completely in love with God. That's the reason why the Bible says, you know what, if there was a prophet or a seer, I would come to him in visions and in dreams. And you know what it says? But my servant Moses, he's faithful in all of God's house, and therefore I speak to him how? Face to face. You know why? Because he loved God. And then he said, Lord, if you really, if I found favor in your eyes, Lord, show me your glory. And you know what Jesus says? If you see my glory, you will die. I remember Pastor Eric singing this song several years back in our church. You know, this is what the song says. Let me see your face and die. That was Moses. Let me see your face and die. He treasured God. Question, is God your treasure this morning? Do you treasure God? If I were to even ask you, what does it mean to treasure God? What would your answer be? Do you love him? Do you love him? Do you love him, saints, this morning? If you treasure any other person other than God, it is idolatry. Because Jesus says, or in Exodus chapter 20, he says, I am the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Therefore, thou shalt have no other gods other than what? Me. That's it. Because I am the Lord who brought you out. And if you have any other god apart from me, it means that that person saved you, but that person did not save you. Like Pastor, like Brother Wesley was praying, he says, so many people who are religious in this world, they do so many things to appease their gods, to get something from their God. But our God did everything for us. While we were sinners, while we were ungodly, while we were without strength, while we were enemies of God, he died for us. He died for us. And therefore he says, thou shalt have what? No other gods apart from me. But problem is, many, many people in the church, you know, it's like during the days of Jeremiah, they say the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. They keep on coming and saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. And Jeremiah says, you are thinking and you are believing in lying signs, and this is all vanity. You know why? Because you lie, you cheat, you do all kinds of things, and you burn incense to other gods. Other Baals, and then you come to my house and you say, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. Has my house become a what? Den of thieves. You know what a den means? Den of thieves means a place where you hide after you steal. Now what does house of God become? A place where people hide after they steal. That is the reason why Jesus said, Baba, you come and worship me with your lips, but your heart is, Baba, light years away from me. Far. Because you don't treasure me. Look at Moses. Exodus chapter 33. Then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us. Lord, we treasure you. Lord, even if we have to stay in the wilderness all the days of our life, your presence is all that matters. We don't want promised land if you don't go before us and if your presence doesn't take us there with us. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight except who? You go with us. I know Pastor Sharon taught us a beautiful song several years back, you know. It is to you I give the glory. It is to you we give the praise. For you have done so much for me. And I will bless your holy name. It is to you, Holy Father, no one like you. And I will bless your name forever. It is you, 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 you. And if you don't come, see, that's what Jesus says. All that I have is yours. The question is all that yours, is it mine? All that is yours, is it mine? Therefore, one man of God made this powerful statement. He says, whatever a man does without God, he is bound to fail miserably or succeed even more miserably. If you do something without God, okay? So that's the reason why pastor says no. He says, the worst thing that can happen to you is to succeed in the wrong thing. Succeed in a person's, in a purpose which is not of God in your life. Do you treasure God this morning? Do you treasure Him? See, that is what God is looking for. One of the parables in Matthew chapter 13, this is what He says, no? He says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field which a man found and hid, and for the joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has got and he buys it. You see that? That is what? Yeah. It's like this, no? He goes to the real estate guy and he says, I want that piece of land. And he says, which land, sir? That piece of land somewhere in the corner. He says, sir, you will not, there's no value for that. He says, no. Something is there. I want it. Whatever is the price, I'm willing to pay. Hidden treasure. Treasuring God. Treasure God. Treasure God because He treasures you. What is your value? The price of His Son. Every drop of blood which was flowing through Jesus' body was shed for each and every one of us. Every drop. That is how valuable you are to Him. That is the reason why the Bible says we have not been redeemed by perishable things like silver and gold, but by the imperishable, the blood of Jesus Christ as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. Matthew chapter 13. In verse number 45, again the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. Do you treasure God? Do you treasure Him this morning? Lord, if I have you, that's enough for me. If I have you, enough. I don't want anything else, no? 1 John chapter 5 verse number 12. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son does not have life. Remarkable thing, isn't it? You know, when we used to read or watch treasures movies or treasure search movies, no? What happens is that these guys go in search of a treasure, or this bunch of guys together. They're all searching for treasure. But you know what? They want to have all of the treasure for themselves. Slowly, after they find the treasure, each of them will start killing the other person. All of them are dead. And finally, even the guy who has a treasure, he finds it and he's not able to carry it. And while he's going, he falls down and he dies. And finally, nobody gets it. That is the treasures of this world. But you know what Jesus says? I'm a treasure. All of you can have all of me. It's remarkable. No competition. All of you can have
All of me. All of me.
He who has a son has life. He who does not have the son does not have life. But what abides on him? It says in John's Gospel chapter 3 verse number 36. This is what he says. He who believes in the son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the son shall not see life. But the wrath of God still abides on him. Mm-hmm. And therefore Jesus says, this is life. What is eternal life? This is life. What is eternal life? To know me, the only true God. I like the word. What? Only. Only means single. There's no other God. The only true God. And Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So, how do I know that I treasure God? Question. How do I know that I treasure God? Give you an example. There was a man, he's called a rich young ruler. You know the story of the rich young ruler. He asked Jesus, what should I do to get eternal life? He who has a son has life. That's it. You take that definition in your mind now. So he goes to Jesus and he says, what should I do? And Jesus says, do the commandments. He says, right from my youth, I'm doing it. This is Mark chapter 10, verse number 20. And he answered and said to him, teacher, all these things, kya baat hai? Kya baat hai? Do you find a guy like that in our homes? Even in our homes, you don't find. All these things I have kept from my youth. Honor father and mother, nothing I have done which is wrong. And look at what it says in the Bible. And then Jesus, looking at him, what did he do? Loved him and said, what do you love? How many? Okati. One thing. I told you, no? Jesus makes me one. One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give it to the poor, and you will have what? Treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me. Bible says, but he was sad at this word, and went away sorrowful. So how do I know that I treasure God? Recently I went to a music camp, you know, the children were asking me questions. And some of the interesting questions, I don't know who asked the questions. Can Christians watch movies? Can Christians sing secular songs? Can Christians dance to DJ music, etc., etc., etc.? No. If I were to tell you, if Jesus comes and says, please give up that if you will follow me, if you really love me, will you give it up or will you be sad? Sad. Will you give it up? You know, one of the things in our school, no? Do one more problem. Amma, should I do this? One more, no? Please. If I do this, what will you give me? Yeah, you see, we live in a generation that even if you don't do anything, the children and the parents expect a reward. You have not worked anything through the year. You have not obeyed your teachers. You have been one of the most difficult students in the school at the end. Will you go and ask anybody? He got 2 million rank, why are you not? My feelings are hurt. You will not say that. But somehow suddenly in the kingdom of God, everybody wants a reward without any work. Can you give up something gladly for God? You know, one of my favorite teachers when we were growing up in my walk with the Lord, Arthur Katz, he preached a message called Eunuchs for Christ. And he said in his message, if God were to ask you not to be married and follow him all the days of your life, how many will be willing to come forward? And there was one woman who was so offended at that statement. She said, you know what? I wish to get married. I wish to have children. And how dare you put this before me? He said, no, no, no. It's this, I didn't force this on you. Nothing is forced in the kingdom of God, you know, in Telugu it is, Devudu balavantamu cheyadu, batimalukuntadu. He does not force anybody, he only pleads. And if you have to say, oh boy, I have to give up everything to follow Jesus, then you do not treasure God. You don't treasure God. Simple period. It's like Pharaoh, no? When do you want this frogs to be taken away from your midst? Answer? Tomorrow. What do you want to do? One last day. One last puff. One last movie. You don't treasure God. Do you treasure God? Can you give up gladly? You know what Paul says? To get this knowledge of God, I am willing to consider the best of the treasures of this world equal to dung so that I can get him. He treasured God. He treasured God, saints. If God were to ask some of us, give up that relationship. That person is not for you. We already made our plans. Kya hoga bhi? You don't treasure God. You don't treasure God. God told Jeremiah, Jeremiah, you will not get married. Simple. He was a young man. He had plans. God said no. God told Ezekiel, I'm going to take away the delight of your eyes. And you're not going to mourn. Whatever you say, God. Because I treasure you. God told Hosea, you go and get married to this girl called Gomer. Who is she? A prostitute? Lord, what is this, Lord? Lord, I lived a holy life, Lord. My life was given over to you completely. Oh yeah. Then you do something which I ask you to do gladly. Go and marry Gomer. She will have 3 children. And one of the child is not your own. Because that fellow's name will be Lo-Ami. Means not my people. Not mine. But that man went. In search of Gomer. And bought Gomer. I know. Several years back, Pastor James preached this sermon called Crazy Love. Whose love was that? Crazy love for God to Gomer through the prophet. That's how much he treasures us. So first, treasure God. You know, some of us have already made a decision. I am not going to give up. You say whatever you want to say. My mind is made up. I've got my mind made up. And I won't turn back. Because I've already made my decision. I'll tell you something, saints. If you treasure God, you will lack nothing in your life. And you will find the need to have nothing also. Because you have God. How is Paul able to say, in prison, in chains, rejoice in the Lord always, just in case you forgot, and again I say rejoice. I mean, he's like writing in Greek and thinking in Hebrew. Why? Boy, the presence of God is here. Wherever God goes, takes me, that's the best place for me. Because you know why? I desire his presence. That is the reason why he says in Jeremiah chapter 2, he says, in the wilderness, I remember the love of your espousals. When you were after me in the wilderness, in a desert land, a land which cannot be sown, which cannot be fertilized, which cannot be a place where there's no visible prosperity, because I was there with you and you loved me. You were holy to me. You treasured me. What happened to you? Problem is, so many of us in the contemporary church, and especially in our individual lives, we have forgotten to treasure God. First, we treasure God. And if we treasure God, we do something else. We treasure His what? His word. It's impossible to treasure God and say, you know what? I can't treasure what you say. No, you can't. They're inseparable. Okay. Proverbs chapter 2. This is what it says. Proverbs chapter 2, verse number 1 onwards. My son, if you receive my words and what? Treasure my commands within you. If you incline your heart to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and you lift up your voice for understanding, and if you seek her as silver and search for her as for what? Hidden treasures. If you lose 500 rupees in your house, how will you search? Did the maid take it? Did the maid take it? I kept it here. What has happened? Etc., etc., etc. How will you search? Think about it, no? Show me the condition of your Bible. I will tell you the condition of your soul. If your Bible is not a part, then your soul is a part. If your Bible is a part, then your soul is intact. Some people, dust also will not be there. Very religiously, they'll put it like that. Never open it. Sleep under it. And if they have to read, they will read one or two and do daily devotions also. And I'll tell you what, you know, daily devotions and studying your scriptures is like having a bath and putting deodorant. Daily devotions means deodorant, no bath. Okay. Full Axe deo spray. Nothing has changed inside, but you smell very nice. And that sweat and your scent will mix together and a very interesting odor also will come. That is daily devotion. I'm not saying you should not be devoted to your daily devotion. Please don't misunderstand me at all. I'm talking about, do you treasure His word? Do you have a life in His word? Do you have a disciplined reading lifestyle of the word of God? Okay. Oh my goodness, and I tell you something. My mom gave me this. Actually, my mom did not give. I confiscated this from my parents' home several years back. It's just a part. And I read it and read it and read it. Every time I read it, one page is torn. Because it's old. I treasure it. This is my third Bible. Third Bible. I'm going to have to buy a new one now. It's over. It's gone. Okay. It's coming apart. Treasure. Do you treasure the word? Do you love the word? Do you spend time reading it? And once you start reading, you can't stop. It's like children who really get engrossed in doing something. They forget their hunger. Hurry, time to eat. I'm coming. And they're so engrossed, and they forget about food, they forget about everything. And after they finish, they say, Mama, I'm very hungry. What happened, Ray? I've been calling you. All this time. Engrossed. Do you treasure? The reason why we have the very little of the fear of God in the church is because we do not treasure the word of God. Our lives are so far away from the standards of God. You know why? Because we don't treasure His word. So this morning Pastor was praying and he was praying. He says, let none of us in our church get familiar with the word. Treasure it. If you want to create interest, start reading the Bible in Telugu. It's fun, man. I'm telling you, it's possibly one of the most incredible journeys for me especially. I study the word in Telugu now and I get some incredible insights. And the other thing is that it also slows me down. Because I read very fast. No, it goes very fast and Telugu slows me down. And when you read something slow, You have to ruminate, you have to think, you have to pause. And sometimes whatever you read doesn't make sense because you're reading it all wrong, and therefore you have to reread it again. See? Treasure. And all of us can read. Any illiterate people here in the house of the Lord this morning? None? Read. And again I say, read. Just in case you forgot. Treasure. Treasure men of God's experiences. Treasure. One of my treasures is A.W. Tozer. I have like the bunch of A.W. Tozer in my library. I just devoured all of them. And one of my favorite books is The Holiness of God. Poof! Every time I read it, I just go crazy. Treasure. That is the reason why we don't get insights from the Word of God. Lives are not transformed because the Word of God, it says, is living. It's got the power to transform our lives. The reason why we do not have transformed lives is because we do not treasure His Word. And there's no faith. And why are people destroyed? Because of what? They're ignorant of the ways of God. And why do we commit sin? Look at what it says. Look at what it says in Hebrews chapter 9. I want to show you something very interesting. This is what it says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 7, and in the NIV. But only the high priest entered into the inner room, that is the holiest of all, and that only once a year, and never without blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins the people had committed. In ignorance. Why do people commit sin? Because they are ignorant. They do not have the knowledge of the laws and the statutes and the ordinances of God, and therefore they keep on falling in the same area because they have no knowledge. You know, there's a fantastic message by Derek Prince, which is titled "Hidden Barriers to Deliverance," hidden barriers to deliverance or healing. And in that sermon, he says the first hidden barrier to deliverance is ignorance. For a lot of people, demons is just one some ghost and from some paranormal activity. But I'll tell you something: many demons are there in your own body, very comfortable in many of you. If not all of you. And you are not even aware. Because you are ignorant. And when he goes through that teaching, he says, after every barrier, he stops and he says, let us repent. And he says, one of the barriers he says is ignorance. And then he says, let us all repent of our ignorance, because we have been so sloppy in studying the word. We have not been people who studied and invested our lives to know the ways of God. And therefore, what do? We commit sin because we are ignorant. Look at Martin Luther's statement. This statement is found in the book Integrity Crisis, okay? This is Warren Wiersbe quoting from Martin Luther. This is what he says. The ultimate proof of a sinner is that he does not know his own sin. Think about that. Put that in your spiritual pipes and smoke it. The ultimate proof of a sinner is that he does not know his own sin. It's like a leper. Leper, he does not have any sense of pain in his body. So if you have leprosy, what you lose is a sense of touch and pain. That pain nerve is gone. So let us say you're sleeping in a place which is full of rats. And in the night you're asleep. And then what happens is that by the time you get up in the morning, one foot is gone. The rats have eaten. And you did not even know. Because you don't have a sense of pain. And therefore, for people, what does it mean? It means in the spiritual realm, our conscience has become insensitive because our conscience is not trained by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. And therefore, when a conviction of the word comes, it does not pain us because we don't have the knowledge of the word of God inside us, in our inner man. pain is good, my dear brothers and sisters. If the word comes with conviction, the problem is, in many people in the church are challenged, but they don't change. They're convicted, but they're not converted. Including me. We got so much of inertia in our spiritual walk. Because we don't treasure the word. We do not know our own sin. And one of the things about diabetes also is that you might, you know, if you bleed during diabetes, you don't even know it because that sense of pain is gone. What has happened in the church is that people have been fed this diet of junk food. And what do they have is spiritual diabetes. And what do they not have is a sense of pain when the Holy Spirit comes and with a convicting word. It does not cut their hearts. The Bible says, on the day of Pentecost, when Peter opened his mouth, he said, "You, this Jesus whom you crucified." You know what the Bible says? They were cut to their hearts. There were only two responses. They were cut to their hearts and they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" It says, when Stephen preached, they were cut to their heart and they gnashed with their teeth and they stoned Stephen. You know why? Because they had pain. Pain. People are ignorant. So read that. Sins of the people which they have committed in ignorance. Why is there so much of bondage in the Christian church? Christians given over to vices and can't break it. You know why? Because they have no knowledge of God. Look at what it says in Isaiah chapter 5. We know this verse very well. "Therefore, my people have gone into captivity because they have" what? No knowledge. "Their honorable men are famished. And their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore, Sheol, that is hell, has enlarged itself. And where are my people going?" They're going into hell. Because they don't have knowledge. Do you treasure His word? Do you treasure God? If you treasure God, you will treasure His word. You will treasure it. You will invest in it. That's right. Pastor was so upset that we did not pay attention to buying truth. The teachings on buying truth. That means we are invested into that. We pay through our nose to Narayana. For what? For IIT. There's no guarantee. But everything has to begin freely in the world, in the kingdom of God. You pay donations to get a seat. If they say, "Sir, there is no seats," you will say, "Sir, I will buy my own seat." Just to get into some obscure engineering college. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, there's no treasure, there's no preparation. Think about it. Do we treasure His word? One day in a week, if you will. How much do we come with longing in our hearts to hear from God? Food for thought, isn't it? From that time, John's Gospel chapter 6 verse 66, 6666, I like that word, 6666. From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked with Him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" You know what Simon said? Thank God he said it for all of us. He said, "Lord, where shall we go? You and you alone have the" what? "The words of life." I like the word. You have the words of life. That's it. You. Nobody else. You. In order to have one heart, you treasure God. In order to have one heart, you treasure His word. Because the word is not separate from the person. Because in the beginning was the word. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's a revelation of the person of God through His Son Jesus Christ. You know why many of us still depend upon our own good works is because we do not know the God of mercy. We do not know Him. We don't know Him. Do you know this? There's a verse in the Bible which says, all those who call upon the name of the Lord will be what? Just not saved, delivered. Son of David, have mercy upon me. Hey, we are a very, what church? Respectable church. We don't cry like that. Son of David, have mercy upon me. You know why? Because God is a God of mercy. And we do not know the God of mercy. And because we do not know the God of mercy, we are not merciful to others. Simple. Our idea and our knowledge of God reflects in our attitude towards others, especially to those who are weaker than us. Financially or in a social status. Do you treasure His word? Next treasure. Third thing that we need to treasure. Third thing. The third aspect of the treasures. Treasure is who? Spirit. Treasure is spirit. This is what He says, Jesus again. When Jesus knew in Himself that His disciples complained about this, He said to them, does this offend you? What then, if you should see the Son of Man ascend where He is about, where He is before, then this is what He says. It is a spirit who gives life. Everybody say that? It is a spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Do you treasure His spirit this morning? That is what happened on the day of Pentecost. Boy, mighty wind came. And the church started for many people, unfortunately, in the contemporary church. The Holy Spirit is just a doctrine. Oh, there is a third person of the Trinity. We should not call Him hit. We should call Him Him, etc., etc. All the right words. But no power! Because you don't treasure Him. Look at David's response after he sinned. You know how he says? What he says? Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence and do not what? Take your Holy Spirit. Oh Lord, please. One thing that I don't want to be in a position where your spirit has left me. Like Samson, he sinned and sinned and sinned and sinned and sinned and sinned. And one day the Spirit of the Lord departed from Samson. And he does not even know. That's what it says, no? That's what the aspect, one of the most dangerous aspect of a sinner. He does not know his own sin. He's gone. And he says, Lord, your Spirit, Lord. Lord, your Spirit. And this morning I was praying and I was saying, Lord, pour out your spirit. Let your presence be here in our midst. Otherwise, it's just going to be another religious activity. Where you're used to it. A ritual. And if your presence is not there, if your spirit is not there, if you don't treasure Him. And by the way, the Holy Spirit does not speak about Himself. He always glorifies Jesus Christ. And if you want to have the Spirit in your presence, in your life, the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, keep on glorifying and thanking Jesus. And Brother John was praying. He was, every second sentence was thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Just keep doing that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Your presence and your spirit. Do we have a relationship? Holy Spirit, I love that song. No? Come, Holy Spirit, we need you. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Come with your presence and power. Come in your own special way. I'm telling you, the church of Jesus Christ, apart from the Spirit of Christ is a total zero. Absolute nothing. Zero. Today is the day of Pentecost. It's a day of Pentecost in many churches, but they don't have the Spirit, unfortunately. He's a guarantee, the Bible says. He's a guarantee of our inheritance, the Spirit. He says, Lord, don't take your Spirit from me. And the problem is, he slowly departs. His voice, not that he slowly departs. His voice becomes weaker and less effective in our lives because we have been crowded by so many other things because we do not treasure him. We don't guard him. We are so careless about it. And therefore, all the warnings in the Bible is that don't what? Lie to the Spirit. Don't test the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't insult the Spirit of grace. Don't grieve the Spirit. Spirit of God. We pray, you know, Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, fall afresh on me. Yes. Do we value him? Why should he come? Oh, my dear brothers and sisters, the early church, they said, you know what? They were being threatened. They went on a fasting and prayer routine, and then Bible says when they were in one accord, the Spirit came and empowered them, and they went and boldly proclaimed the word of God. You know why our witness is absolutely shallow and as good as no witness at all is because we do not have the Spirit in our lives. Think about it. How effective is our witness in our universities, in our colleges, in our workplaces? Do they see the presence of God? And the Bible says Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit and his face was glowing. Does your face glow? Or are you like Saul? Always sad, angry. Spear in his hand. You know why? He never treasured the Spirit. He never treasured. Look at what it says in 1 Samuel chapter 16. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. This is David. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. And the next word it says, then the Spirit of the Lord... This is the experience of Samuel, by the way. This is the experience of David. Now, Saul also had a very similar experience. He was also filled with the Holy Spirit. He was anointed. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 10, this is what it says, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you and you will prophesy with them and be turned into what? Another man. If you want to be turned into another man, a man that God wants you to be, it is important for you to be empowered by the Spirit of God. It is impossible otherwise to be a witness. Impossible. Impossible. Christian life, impossible. So let me try. No, you will fail. So what you should do is wait till you are endowed with power. Not just speak in tongues. That's easy. The difficult thing is to witness. To be a witness. And then what happens? So it, verse 10, verse 9, so it was when he had turned his back to go from Samuel that God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass that day. This is the life of Saul. When they came there to the hill, there was a group of prophets to meet him. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he prophesied among them, and they said, you know what, he's Saul also among the prophets. That became a proverb. He's Saul also among the prophets. But the problem is, he never guarded it. He never guarded the presence of God. He never guarded the Spirit of God. He grieved, disobeyed over and over and over again. And the Bible says, sadly, but the Spirit of the Lord, what? Departed from Saul. And by the way, there is never a vacuum in the spiritual realm. If the Spirit of God departs, automatically, all the other things will get sucked in. If you don't have the Spirit of God, other spirits will be there. And the distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. Look at this. 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 I mean, and this is sad. Sad, sad, sad. Sad. It says, this distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him, and Saul's servant said to him. Everybody is able to see this. Surely a distressing spirit from God is troubling you. And he should have asked his servants, is it so? Do you feel that? Oh God, what has happened, Lord? Did I grieve your spirit? No repentance, nothing. No prayer at all. Absolutely no prayer. And the Bible says, lastly, the Lord did not speak to him through vision or through prophets or through dreams or through Urim or the Thummim. So did he wait? Did he fall flat on the face and he said, Lord, have mercy upon me, Lord, and speak to me, O Lord? No. No, 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 no. I will still hear. I will still get a voice from the other realm. He goes and consults a witch. You know why? Because he did not treasure the Spirit. No treasure. Look at what happens in his life. It says, let our master now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is skillful player on the harp. And it shall be that he will play it with his hand when the distressing spirit from God is upon you, and you shall be well. In other words, we will give you words. These are all servants not of Saul. They are not servants of God. Servants of God will come and say, you know what, brother Saul, this is what happened to you. Because you continued disobeying and you did not value the presence of God in your life, the Spirit of the Lord has been lifted away. Go and repent! No! What will they do? Get a musician, play some soothing music, and get some therapy. What is that? You know what therapy does? Therapy does not solve the problem. It only alleviates the pain caused by the problem. You know, if you have a chronic illness means something which cannot be cured for life. You know what they give you? It's not called treatment, it's called therapy. Treatment is for something which can be cured completely. Therapy is something for which that cannot be cured completely. What do you want? Treatment or therapy? Answer? You know why? Because he treasured something more than the Spirit of God. He did not value the anointing. He did not value God's anointing. He did not value the teachings. He did not value the Spirit. He did not value the person of the Holy Spirit. He's not convicted. Lord, did I grieve you? Did you ever ask the Holy Spirit God, did I grieve you? Did I test you? Did I quench you? Did I lie to you? Did I insult you? In any way? Are we sensitive like that? I mean, are we sensitive like David? No. One cut of the hem of Saul's garment, his heart is smitten. He says, Lord, I touch God's anointed. Think about it. So sensitive. This is what God reminds Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 15. Samuel also said to Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore heed the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts. What is that? Heed the voice of the words of the Lord. Finish off everything of Amalek. Everything. Kill everything. Devote it to complete total destruction. Don't covet anything. Don't treasure anything above me. Don't be like other kings who look for loot. Why do people go for war? Because they want loot. You don't go to war for loot. I am your treasure. You do because I asked you to do it for a specific purpose. And you know what Saul does? Partial obedience is equal to God wants integers, integrity, complete obedience. Half obedience is equal to witchcraft. That's what he says. What's rebellion is as a sin of what? Witchcraft. You know, there is no equivalent word for witchcraft in Telugu. I'm trying to search for it. And it says, Sode Gadu, Sode Chaputa, Nadi. It's Telugu word, but it's not actually true. It's not actually very close to witchcraft. Witchcraft is something totally different. It's the power of rebellion in our life. Power of rebellion. It's a secret power of all rebels. It is how rebels operate. People, remember the pastor said at reading, Taming a Tiger? Taming a Tiger? What's the word he used? If you remember, recalcitrant. Recalcitrant. Rebels. Rebels. You know what, you know how they dealt with rebels in the old covenant? If you have a rebellious son who does not obey your voice, after having disciplined them also, he will not obey to your voice, but he becomes a drunkard and a rebel, you should take him to the elders and say, this is my son. My goodness, the testimony of the parents about the son. This my son is a rebellious son and is a drunkard and a glutton. Constant correction also has not changed him. What shall we do? Stone him. After stoning him, he's dead, no? So take his body, put it on the cross. For cursed is a man who hangs on a tree. You know why curses come into people's lives? Simply because they are rebels. And the problem is, many people are oblivious to the fact that they are under a curse. I am under the blood of Jesus, but you are a rebel. It's not going to cover. You think about this, no? Think about the power of a curse. That it took the Son of God to become a curse for us so that we may be redeemed from the curse and enjoy the blessing. Look at the power of a curse. It took God to experience the power of the curse so that we be released from the curse, and how so careless and casual we are about rebellion in our own lives. We tolerate it. We pamper it. It's like, you know, having pythons as pets. I don't get it at all. How can you have a python as a pet? Crazy fellow. And all these people in Florida now. Nice happened. Now what is happening? Their entire Florida is filled with Burmese pythons. Because some nutcase of the first order went to Burma and he got a Burmese python as a pet, and that fellow came and multiplied in Florida. And is completely annihilating the entire wildlife in Florida. Because you got a what? A python as a pet. You know what a python is a symbol of? It's a symbol of a spirit of divination. There was a lady was following Paul and Silas. These are the men of people of, I mean, these are the servants of the Most High God. Listen to them. Paul looked at her and I said, I cast you out in the name of Jesus, the spirit of divination. You know what? He cast away the spirit of what? Python. Putonu dayam in Telugu. It's a python. We tame them, rebels, in our homes. You know, this guy, you know, who comes to Jesus, he says, my son he's got a spirit, it often puts him into the water, and he falls, he foams from his mouth. And Jesus asked him this question, when did this happen? From childhood. In other words, in childhood, when he did not get his way, he fell on the floor and he said, I want it. And you gave it to him. Enter the dragon. Into the boy. The problem is, many parents don't realize this. Derek Prince makes a powerful statement. He says, discipline is God's wall of protection from the spirits to invade into children's lives. And if you have parents who discipline you, we'll come to that. We'll come to that. We'll come to that. We'll come to that. Okay. Let me not go ahead of myself. We'll come to that. So many children, they foam in their mouth. They'll fall on the floor and say, give it to me. Oh, sorry, beta. Take. So that fellow will come to school. I want it. Then the teacher should say, sorry, beta. Think about it. Brothers and sisters, we are cultivating wipers and diapers. Simple. Simple. Literally we are doing that. One thing they will still throw a tantrum, we will say, okay. Let me heed to the tantrum. That follows that life, that will become a lifestyle for him now. That's the spirit of Ahab. I didn't get it. Why are you sulking? He didn't give it to me. Naboth, I am the king. Okay, Jezebel, I'll get it for you. Don't sulk. If you don't discipline a son when he's growing up, he will get married to a Jezebel, I'm telling you. Think about that. Treasure. Did you hear the voice of the Lord? Yes, I obeyed the voice of the Lord. The best we left, the others we finished. Rebellion, my dear son. What will happen now? The Spirit of the Lord will depart from you. The Bible says, Jesus came out of the water. And the Spirit of the Lord hovered upon him and he remained upon him. We are not like that. Because he was a lamb from the starting to the finished. Sometimes we are lamb, sometimes we are goats. Sometime lamb, sometime goat. Sometime lamb, sometime goat. You see? So what is the admonition for all of us? In Ephesians chapter 5, this is what he says. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine. Pleasure. Okay, drunk with wine means wine may movie, OTT platform, news. Okay, there is news, there is sense, and there is new sense. Not my words, okay. So, OTT, that is wine. People are, you know, they getting up in the morning and starting the word is not important for many of us. Getting up in the morning and listening to news, Baba, you're a glutton for the printed word. Sorry, not the word, something else. Filled with wine, pleasure. I remember people in my university, they used to get up in the morning, watch season 1, season 2, season 3, season 4, season 5, season 6, repeat. Season 1, season 2, season 3, season 4, season 5, season 6, repeat. It's like my children, no? Chronicles of Narnia, 7th time. Over. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, over. Then again, repeat. Repeat. Filled with wine. You see, that's the reason why the Bible says in the last days people will be lovers of self and lovers of pleasure than lovers of God. And therefore, you know what? They do not value the things of God. No wonder There's very little of the Spirit and the very little of the presence of God and very little victory and very little witnessing. So, do not be drunk with wine in which is what? Dissipation. What is that? Dissipation means wastage. If you want to waste your life, pleasure. You'll waste hours and hours and hours and hours, and one day after so many hours and life is spent, you'll say, Lord, the years that our locusts have eaten, you'll, Hare Baba, what are you saying? What are you saying? Did you value him? Did you value him? Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns in spiritual songs. Atma sambandhamaina padyamulu in Telugu. Do you know padyalu at all? You know, in our contemporary Telugu songs are Rakshana, Nirikshana, Asha, Atma, Yesu. Repeat. That's our contemporary Telugu songs. They'll mix a few known words here and there. You should listen to some songs in Telugu from written by old timers. If you read them, reading itself, you'll go crazy. How deeply they have thought through the world. How deeply they have experienced God. There's no depth in their song because they don't have depth in God. If you heard the prayer like Brother Wesley was praying, he says, deep calls unto deep. There's no depth. If you want to catch a fish, where should you go? Into the deep. Otherwise there's no evangelism. Into the deep. For a catch. Value. One of the things for sure you will get. If you seek healing, you may not get. It depends upon the sovereignty of God. Okay? But if you seek His Spirit, you will definitely get. But the problem is many people will seek healing and not the Spirit. That's the problem. You know, I'm doing a translation work of Derek Prince's teachings in the book of Romans into Telugu. Okay, slow process. My God, it's difficult. But I'm doing it just for my own sake. In his teachings, when he starts in the book of Romans, he says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after what? Righteousness. And he says, in the church of the living God, there are many people who have hunger for gifts. There are many people who have hunger for deliverance. There are many people who have hunger for prosperity. But very few people hunger for righteousness. But the theme of the book of Romans is righteousness. And if you have a hunger for righteousness, you will be filled. Think, my dear brothers. Speaking to one another in movies, news. No. Songs, psalms, and hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Think. So be filled with the Spirit. What happens when you are filled with the Spirit? It shows. It says in Acts chapter 6 about Stephen, verse 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of what? Faith and the Spirit. Verse 15, and all who sat in the council, looking steadfastly at him, saw his face as of the face of an angel. Shining. Why? Because he was full of the... So if you are full of the Spirit, you don't have to go to health and glow. Tongue in cheek. Okay. Your face will be shining. You know why? You are full of the Spirit. Otherwise you have to put mascara and cosmetics, etc., etc., etc. Sorry, okay, no offense. Please go to health and glow and enjoy yourself, no problem. If let us make health and glow rich, no problem, okay. Think about this. Verse Acts chapter 6 verse 54. And when they heard these things, they were cut to their heart and they gnashed at him. This is at Stephen with their teeth. And the Bible says, the next verse, it says, but he being what? Full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven. You know why? He's able to gaze into heaven and he's able to see the heavens open because he was a man what? Full of the Spirit. Because he treasured the Spirit. Treasure the Holy Spirit this morning. That's Pentecost. Pentecost is that. 500 people, Jesus, the resurrected Christ, appeared to 500 people, but only 120 people heard his voice, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They were in one accord in one place. And after that, they changed the world. They turned the world upside down. There'll be a sweet calmness in your life. There'll be a calmness and a steadiness in your life, you know, if you're a man full of the Holy Spirit. Seek. Brothers and sisters, don't seek the opinions of men. That's what, for Saul it was important, the opinions of men. The Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, but he's so scared about his opinion. What would people think about me? What would people think about me? Please, Saul, please, Samuel, come and stand before me and approve me before my crowd. So they will think that the Lord is still with me. Even I know that the Lord is not with me, but they will think, I want to give them an impression that the Lord is with me. What are we going to do with such duplicity, my dear brothers and sisters? Who cares about the opinions of men? Treasure the Spirit, this Pentecost. And if you don't have that experience, ask for it. And if the younger you are, the lesser the questions you will have, you can easily speak in tongues. Otherwise, you will have a lot of logics and thoughts and, are itla gaadu kada? Naaku artham kaadam ledu kada? What is happening over here? All those questions will not be there. Acts chapter 13. This is verse 9 onwards. Then Saul, who was called Paul. Now the change of name, you see. This is not the Old Testament Saul. This is the old New Testament Saul who became what? Why did he become Paul? Because he was filled with the Spirit. He was filled with the Spirit and he looked at the sorcerer in his face. He had holy boldness and he confronted them right to his face and he said, and you know what he said? He said, you full of all deceit. Not what? Not just full of deceit. All kinds of deceit you have. I mean, I do not know how do you qualify that? All kinds of deceit. Think about that. Full of all deceit and all fraud. You son of the devil. You enemy of all righteousness. You have all deceit, all fraud, and you are enemy of all righteousness. Will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? If you are full of the Holy Spirit, you will be able to discern full of deceit in your own life. Full of fraud in your own life. Full of all those things which are all, which is against all righteousness in your own life. You'll be able to discern. Why don't we have discernment? It's because you are not what? Full of the Holy Spirit. Why? Why was he man full of the Holy Spirit? Chapter 13. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit. Who was sent out by the Holy Spirit? Paul and Barnabas. They were under the authority of the local church. The local church came and laid hands upon them. They were fasting and praying, laid hands upon them. My dear brothers and sisters, people do not fast and pray anymore. Even if they fast, they fast for things. See, what is fasting? Giving up. Right? Fasting means giving up something. So in fasting, what they say, Lord, I'm fasting because I want this. The very definition of fasting is to give up. And why are you fasting? To get. So what is it called? Hunger strike. It is not fasting. Right? It's a total oxymoron. Total contradiction. Fasting antene upavasam means to give up. So what are you doing? Giving up something to get something. What? Hey, logic. What happened to your logic? Telivileni Christavyam. Christianity without brains. Local church laid hands upon them. And they were sent. People under authority. People who are under authority, they are the people who value and treasure the Holy Spirit. Because the Spirit is given to those people under authority. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because he came under the authority of his parents. He waxed strong in the Spirit. You know why? Because he was under the authority of his parents. He was a man full of the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because he was under the authority of his Father. Under the authority of your local church. So treasure God. Treasure his word. Treasure his Spirit. Fourth, treasure his people. Who? His people. Not the people in the world. She is my best friend. BFFFF. What is that? So many. Whatever those acronyms these days, huh? LOL, laughs out loud. That was those days. That is gone now. That is completely gone now. What is this? Somebody said TAT, huh? TYT, take your time. Something like that. TYT, take your time. And what is that? BFFFF. What is that? Best friends for life forever. Who is your best friend? That's what we were thinking during university days. Hey, we will never forsake one another, okay? We are best friends. They're all gone. They've forsaken me. After I became a pastor, nobody calls. Over. Finished. Close. Kale khatam dukan band. Over. Treasure. You treasure God's people? What says thou? Yes, thou. Psalm 16. This is what it says. Preserve me, O God. For in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. Kya baat hai? So. What is the natural outcome? As for the saints in the land. Not for the sinners in the land. As for the saints in the land who are on the earth. They are the excellent ones. In whom is what? Oh, all your delight. All my delight. Do you treasure God's people? It says, as much as is possible in you, do good to all men, especially to the household of what? Faith. You treasure God's people? Okay, let us become specific. Who are God's people, you'll ask? Husbands, do you treasure your wives? Kada? That is brass tacks. Wives, do you treasure your husbands? Next step. Children, do you treasure your parents? No? They don't understand me. Actually, they understand you very well. And you don't know that very well. They understand you completely. Because you are a reflection of them, basically. You have the same DNA. You know, Derek Prince makes a very, very interesting statement. He says, the children whom whom you don't like the most are the people who are most like you. If you have three children, the person or the child whom you don't like the most is a child who's most like you. Because he reflects everything that is negative about you. I said, Baba, what a statement. You see, actually, children teach the parents how they were when they were young. So, my parents don't understand me. The enemy is lying to you. They understand you very well. Okay, even an inclination, even what? An inclination, some kind of a small tantrum, some kind of a little red flag. You know what a red flag is? CPI flag is there, no? You know what CPF flag? CPF flag means what? Communist flag. Communist. Erajanda in yellow. You know that Erajanda. That Erajanda is there. That Erajanda slowly they will see. The red flag. That Viplavam, that Sri Sri. Okay. That fellow is there and he immediately tells, hey! From where is it coming? Because several years back, you were just like them, basically. So they understand you very well. The point here is this, they have all that knowledge and they want to deal with that now. And if they're dealing with it, treasure. You're putting too much of a pressure. Don't worry. This too shall pass. And if you pass in flying colors, boy, you'll be good to go in Babylon. I'll tell you something. The discipline to be disciplined is a discipline. You understand that? To be corrected is a discipline. If you can be corrected by your parents, whom you can see, you can be corrected by God, whom you cannot see. If you can't be corrected by your parents whom you see, you can't be corrected by God whom you cannot see. Simple mathematical induction. So treasure your parents. Believing parents, I mean. And non-believing parents also were righteous, who are principles. I'm telling you, in this entire political arena, I've seen just one man in the entire political arena in our country, that is Rahul Gandhi. You can tell me whatever you want. I've seen this one guy who's consistent. He's not a believer, he might be having a lot of flaws. But the other person, I don't want to name the names, he can say one thing today, and the very next moment he will contradict himself. And he will turn 180 degrees the very next moment. He's complete a total chameleon. Chameleon of the first order. Usarivilli. And what happens? Many children of God will go and vote for him. You're senseless. Don't have brains. What are you thinking? The one guy who actually wants to ensure that the foundation of the founding fathers of this country still are intact is one guy, the last Gandhi. There was an article in the Hindu, the last Gandhi. And you have your own thoughts and ideas. So I think this. Tell me one political leader who is consistent like that. Show me in the modern times a guy who has actually traveled the length and breadth of the country, who's gone and meet with people, and you look at those videos, they're genuine, you can't fake them. And you still go and vote for another person, wasting your vote. Believers. Shame on you. We are not voting for people. We are voting for the ideas that they have. You're not individuals. Tell me one leader who's consistent. The other guy plagiarizes even speeches. He has no ideas of his own. Plagiarizing master. You vote? Hastam. Vote. I'm unashamed about that. You know why? Because I like the principles of that man. The principles. The foundations upon which this country was established. The Gandhian principles. One fellow is consistently lying. Consistently is changing, and you still, in your stupidity, will go and vote for him. Think about it. Come out of it, brothers and sisters. As for the saints in the land, they are all my delight. The alone are the excellent ones. You know how you can enjoy and experience the love of Christ? It says in Ephesians chapter 4, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with what? With whom? With what? With whom? All saints. What is the width, the length, the depth, and the height of the love of God? Only the saints. That's the reason I love the way the sentence, that statement, no? The soul of Jonathan was knit. Ah, kya baat hai? Knit to the soul of David. And he loved him as his own soul. Knit. Not stitched. Knit. Stitchings will tear. Knits will rend. You know, when rending happens, a part of you goes. When stitching happens, your part stays. Because knitting is seamless. Stitching is full of seams. Put that in your spiritual pipes and smoke it. Okay? So treasure his people. Treasure is purpose. Yeah. First, so let us see all the five treasures. Let me see how many of you remember, okay? First, the three ones. Yeah. One heart. Was a one heart, one mind, one will. In one heart, we're talking about treasures. What is this? Treasure God, treasure is word, treasure is spirit, treasure is people, treasure is purpose. The fifth one. You treasure his purpose. And what is his purpose? Let me drink a little of the cup which was given to me, okay? Treasure his purpose. What is his purpose? Luke's Gospel chapter 19 and verse number 9. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to what? To seek and save that which was lost. The moment you have treasured God, the moment you have treasured his word, the moment you have treasured his spirit, you have treasured his people, immediately you will embrace his purpose. You know what is his purpose? To seek and serve the lost. That becomes your will. That becomes the fodder for your life. John's Gospel chapter 4. Therefore the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. You see, he said he was totally engrossed in this one ambition in his life. I should seek out all the people God has ordained for me. That's it. All the people whom God has ordained for me. My food. And what is that? John's Gospel chapter 4. Verse 35. Do you not say? Everybody. All of us say. I mean, you remember, I remember this verse is so real for my life, you know. Because I was getting a call to full-time ministry. And I was saying, Lord, no. No, no, no. And one day I said, Lord, give me 4 months. Okay. How many months? 4 months. I said, just Lord, 4 months and I will make a decision. And then that day my daily reading was John's Gospel chapter 4. John 4, 4 months, okay? I finished 34, 35 I came. Do you not say, Vijay, my name there. That word was written for me several thousands of years back. Do you not say, how many of you asked for 4 months from God? Nobody asked. I was the one who asked. So before the foundations of the world were laid, he knew. Do you not say, Vijay, there are 4 months. And then will come the harvest. You know, when I read that, I closed the book just like that. I said, no, 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 no. This is not the voice of God. Get thee behind me, etc. I can't say Satan because it's Jesus. Do you not say? 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and, everybody say loudly, lift up your eyes and, lift up, no, follow, okay, lift up your eyes and, what is that? I want you to read this one word. Exactly, okay. I'll say lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes and, loudly, Baba, lift up your eyes and, do you look? You see at the fields? Do you see the fields ripe for the harvest? Or are you totally consumed by your own problems? My children, my education, my finances, my. People are just going to hell and you're going to heaven with all your problems, of course. And you have no idea of the soul that is so near to you. You know why? Because your food is not to do the will of Father. You don't treasure the souls whom God is after. Do you treasure? You treasure God. You know what satisfies God? What makes him happy? What makes heaven happy? One lost sinner! One lost sinner. Oh, in the caves of Adullam, David is saying, our heavenly David is saying, Lord, I wish I could drink of the waters of Bethlehem and quench my thirst and enjoy myself. And what satisfies you, God? Souls of men. Makes me happy. And three of the mighty men of David risk their lives. Go to Bethlehem. Fetch water. You know what the Bible says? He takes that water and he pours out on the ground. And you know what Paul says? My life is being poured as a drink offering to God. You know why? Because I treasure his purpose. And therefore he says, you know what? I am a debtor to the Greeks and to the Jews and to the barbarians and to the wise and to the wise unwise. Therefore, as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to those who are in Rome also so that I can get a fruit among the Gentiles. You know why? Because I treasure souls. Do you treasure souls? Don't fool ourselves that we say, yes, Lord, we treasure souls. Really? 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 We just have to, I mean, think about it, you know, our minds are so preoccupied with our own self because we do not see the soul next door. You know why? Because we don't treasure God, we don't treasure his word, we don't treasure his spirit, we don't treasure his people, and therefore we don't treasure souls. So if we want to have one heart, ask the Lord to baptize you afresh with his Holy Spirit. And if you ask, the Bible says, if you ask, if you being evil fathers can give good gifts to your children, how much more God will give the Holy Spirit if you only what? Ask. Ask and he will be given. In your own personal secret lives, you can go to the present, into your closet, and you and your wife, if you're married, can go and shut the door and say, Lord, let us pray in one accord and ask God to fill us with the Holy Spirit. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. I wanted to do a study on one heart, one mind and one will, but I'm only done with one heart today. So maybe in the coming days, if God willing, we'll look at one mind. I like that song, no? For I'm building a people of power. I'm building a people of praise who will move through this land by my spirit and glorify my precious name. So build your church, Lord. Make us strong, Lord. Join our hearts, Lord, through your son. Make us one, Lord, in your body. In the kingdom of your son. So this morning, if you want to treasure him, can we all stand up? This morning, all of us in the presence of God, if you believe the word which says where two or three are gathered in my name, I will be there in his presence, in your midst. The Bible says how good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. And when do brothers dwell together in unity? If they have been made one themselves first. If they have become like-minded, that they all treasure the same God, that they all treasure the same word, that they all treasure the same spirit, they all treasure one another, and they all treasure his purpose. And when such a church comes together, there is power. And the Bible says there is power in unity. One can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. And if there are divided homes, first of all, if there are divided individuals this morning, ask the Lord, Lord, begin the work of uniting me first. I'm so double-hearted and double-minded. Lord, my purposes are so far from yours. I'm so far gone from the standards of God, from the standards of your word. And I don't even know it. It's as if I've developed spiritual leprosy, oh Lord. I've become desensitized to the convictions of the Holy Spirit. Lord, would you rekindle the fire? Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from you, from me. Lord, I want to treasure your spirit. Holy Spirit, God, forgive me for grieving you. Can you say that in your own words? Lord, forgive me for grieving you. Forgive me for testing you. Forgiving me for quenching your voice. Forgiving me for grieving and insulting you at times. Forgive me for lying to you. Forgive me, Holy Spirit, for not even thinking about being filled by the Holy Spirit so many times. We are full of knowledge. We are full of so many other things. Some of us are full of the word in our brains, but no power in our lives. You know why? Because we don't have the Spirit at all to transform us. That transforms us into his liking. Forgive us, Holy Spirit, because we have rejected your Lordship. Because your word says the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit is Lord, there is liberty. And we become rebels. And we have allowed the spirit of witchcraft to manipulate us, in us and through us. Go back to God this morning and through the week. If you have to fast, fast. You have to seek his face, seek his face. But this is a time, it's an urgent time, my dear brothers and sisters. We do not know what is going to happen to this world. We have an election result coming up in the next few weeks. The destiny of our nation is hanging on the balance. This is urgent times, my dear brothers. There's no time to play God, no time to play church, my dear brothers and sisters. There's no time for duplicity. There's no time for any other ambition but to please God and to finish the purpose for which he has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. The destiny of our nation, history is on the balance. We do not know what the will of God is, but for whatever the outcome is, we have to be prepared for that. We have to be prepared for any eventuality. Are we really truly prepared? Things are happening at rapid pace. And before we know it, we are already in the sixth month. We are going to be in the sixth month. 16 years of as a church in DTC. Lord, quicken us this morning. Let the spirit of urgency come unto us, Lord. It's a time to seek your face and not to play games. Not to play religion. Not to play with sin, let us, not to sport with sin, O Lord. Some of us still stuck in the vices, in those vices, the strongholds in our minds. And we are not even aware of it. Jesus, come this morning. Spirit of the living God, come, convict us. Lord, Spirit, come, convict us. Not only just convict us, but convert us. Change us and transform us. Lord, don't just challenge us, but change us, oh Lord. And you are able to do it. And you said, Lord, if we be willing and obedient, we will eat the best of the land. No matter what the circumstances, Lord. Lord, Isaac, oh Lord, when he was asked to sow, it was famine all around. But Lord, when he sowed, he reaped a harvest, even 100-fold. I pray, Father, whatever the eventuality, oh Lord Jesus, we as a church will be prepared. We'll be prepared. We do not know what tomorrow is, oh Lord. What is going to happen tomorrow is we are unaware of it. But Lord, we know you hold our tomorrow. And I pray, Father, that we will be in your hands. Challenges draw many of us who have gone astray back to you. Draws back to your first love. Draws back so that we can treasure God, treasure his word, treasure his spirit, his people, and his purpose. Jesus, touch this morning. Touch, Lord. Touch Makare Manda Shika. Oh, Jesus, touch, Lord. Touch. Touch this morning. Touch, Lord. Touch, Lord. Touch your church. Touch your people. Lord, let there be Nehemiahs, O Lord, who will rise up there in this morning, who will say, Lord, our Jerusalem is lying in ruins, and Lord, we do not have any anguish in our heart. There is reproach all around, but we are so comfortable in our own lives, or we are just inundated and thinking about our own problems in our situations. No purpose, O Lord. We are not living for eternity. O Lord, come and convict us, O Lord. Let us go back, draw us back to our secret closets of prayer. We will seek you with fasting and prayer, oh Lord Jesus. We will humble ourselves this morning. Jesus, do your work. Do your work, oh Lord, this morning in your people. Teach us. Do your work. Commit all of us into your hands. Lord, the Spirit of God, let it continue in our hearts. The same Spirit which has been convicting us and teaching your word, Lord, let it just go with us. Let us not lose the anointing, O Lord, with frivolous talk, with loose talk, but let us guard our hearts and the words that have been sowed into our hearts. Jesus, do your work in us and through us. We thank you, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with each one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.